Wilson. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It is always a nerve-wracking experience to stand in front of people to talk. And I think a lot of people, especially even my wife, you know, she's the extrovert between us and I'm the introvert. No, I'm just kidding, it's the other way around. You know, but people, you know, usually say, but you talk a lot, you know, like it seems like you really like the whole talking idea. But I promise you, it's not a light thing to stand in front of people and just to really recognize the weight of being able to stand here, you know, and just speak God's word, you know, knowing that this is not me speaking over here, but this is God putting his word on my tongue and him speaking through me. So I really want to say that I don't take this moment lightly. And I just want, you know, to encourage us to open up our hearts and don't take whatever God is going to say, whatever he's going to talk to you with, whatever he's going to challenge and whatever he's going to realign. Open up your heart right now and say, God, whatever you want to do through your word, I'm ready to obey. Okay, so I'm just going to pray because I'm nervous and I think it's cool to always pray before you start preaching. So yeah, let's just pray together. Now, Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us your word, Father, for instruction, for correction, Lord, for realignment, God. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, even today that you speak to us, God. We thank you that you're not a distant God, Lord, who we have no access to, Father, but we thank you tonight that we have access to you, that we can come before you, King of Kings, that we can come before your throne, God, and just listen, God, to what you have to say tonight. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you. We want to open up our hearts, God. We want to say whatever, Lord, you want to change, whatever you want to say tonight, will you come and do it, Father? It doesn't matter how difficult it is, God, but whatever we need to realign, whatever we need to correct, Lord, we will correct, Lord, because it's what you said tonight. So we thank you, Father, for this privilege, God, of just being in your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome stuff.
Okay, great. So I'm going to be speaking to us, it's just about something that I felt that I was telling Leonard, earlier, that I really felt like last Sunday with God just doing things the way he did it, how he just like changed everything around. I really felt like there was something that God was pinpointing and something that he was putting his hands on. And I thank God that we're one of the Spirit led church, you know, that we're able to say, God, whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, we are ready, you know, to just shift this whole program and to go with what you want to do. So I really want to say as a visitor, I know maybe with the worship was a bit of hey, you know, like I didn't expect it to like, you know, end so quickly, but we want to say, we want to listen to what God wants to say. You know, we don't want to come on a Sunday with a pre-planned program, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with it, but we don't want to come, you know, with a program and put God in a box and say, we are playing this thing, God, would you come and bless this thing that we are busy with? But we want to say, God, what are you busy with? What are you busy putting your finger on? We want to join and realign our lives and totally shift and move to what God is doing and to where he is busy. So I believe that tonight's word will, I hope it will re-encourage you. It will stir you and it will move you more into God. It will give you a hunger. It will stir something in you, you know, just like the hunger of God. And when I was just busy preparing this word, I was taken back to when I was a light kid, you know. So I grew up in a small town called Velkom. It's in the Free State, and it's a small mine town. And I grew up in a township called Honeypark. So it was named after Chris Honey, so it was Honeypark, okay? A very, in Afrikaans I would say, a very achtergeblewe gemeenskap, right? It was one of those township to the core. And one of the things that we had in our township was we didn't have, you know, like your basic stuff, like a, you know, and I'm sorry for this thought, but a basic like toilet, you know, that was built, or a tap of water in your yard that belongs to you when you go to pay an account at the end of the month. We didn't have all of that, you know. So one of my things that I hated with a passion, one of my chores and things that I had to do was every day after school, I had to go and fetch water from, you know, like a point, you know. So there were these points in the community where you go to fetch water. And I hated this, you know, because as a light, you have to take a 20-liter kaniki, you know, like a bottle, and you need to, like, you know, pick up that thing and then get water. And then sometimes we would, like, I love those rolling ones that's not, like, you know, four corners, because then I can, you know, like, just kick it all the way home. But that was one of the things that I had to do. And as I said, I didn't like this very much, you know. And what started happening in the township was, you know, the municipality brought in a system where you needed to buy a coupon, you know. So the water was not free anymore. You know, you need to buy a coupon, and then you put your coupon in a slot, then you push the slot, and then the clinic, you know, that we had in the community will give you a 20 liter water. You know, it was this thing was, I mean, the engineer put it out and whatnot. So Gala, your field, and they gave you exactly 20 liters of water. You know, and then a lot of people in the community, obviously, you know, they didn't have the money, and they were like, no man, this is not a nice system. So people started digging their own wells or their own pit. You know, a pit, and people started doing that. You know, because obviously it's a much more accessible way to get water. You can get as much water as you want. You know, because it's accessible. You know, but one thing, you know, regarding this pit, you know, is that it's an extensive process, you know, to be able to dig this thing, you know, in order to get to the water, because you really have to go deep, you know, until you find the place where the water is, you know. So a few people in the community would come together and say, okay, cool, let's go do it at your house, and then, you know, next time we'll do it at our house, you know, and they started doing it like that. And we started getting water, and just getting, it started becoming more accessible, so you could get, you know, all the water you wanted and do whatever you wanted to do with this water. So as I said, tonight I'm just going to be speaking about digging our own wells. And when I was just thinking about this idea, as I'm gonna share, you know, just a verse with us, John 4, verse 5 to 15. Gabriel can just have it over at the board so long. So I'm going to speak about digging our own wells. And I really feel like we are in a season and a time, you know, like where as people, God is stirring us. You know, He's stirring us and He's teaching us to be people, you know, that are not reliant, you know, like on secondhand revelation. You know, that are not reliant on what other people say about God, but people that are able to dig their own wells. And I don't want to go ahead of myself, but you know, you find yourself in a lot of seasons in life where it feels like, man, I'm just in a bit of a dry place. You know, and I think those seasons are really helpful seasons where God comes, like, and teaches us what does it look like to seek Him. You know, what does it look like to go after Him, to search for Him? You know, even though our feelings, our emotions, or everything in us, you know, doesn't want to do that. But what does this look like? So in John 4, verse 5 to 15, we get this very popular story about Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And it reads as follows. So He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar. Someone can correct me if that's wrong. Near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as He was from His journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 16th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it Himself, as did His sons and His livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, he will never thirst, or will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So the woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." You know, so one of the reasons why I share the story that I shared just regarding digging our own wells is as I was just reading this piece of scripture, it kind of reminded me of my times, you know, like as a boy, where I needed to dig some wells in order for us to get water. But you would know that in ancient Israel, if I can put it that way, or biblical times, You know, as I said, that they didn't have, you know, the basic water that we have, so you couldn't just get take a glass, you know, and go to a tap and just get as much water that you like. So to survive, people would dug wells, okay? And this was often, as I said, an extensive process, you know, because you had to dig deep enough, you know, until you get to the point where there's water in the ground. And this process, you know, depending, of course, on where you are, and if there's any geologists in here, they can correct me. I don't know what are the scientific terms, you know, but you would understand that at times, as you dig a hole, you know, depending on how deep you want this hole to be, you get to a point where there's rock, you know, and you need to dig through, you know, like at times through that rock in order for you to get to the, you know, to get to a place where to get to a place where the water is. So this was the, you know, a custom thing, a habit, you know, that how people lived in ancient biblical times. But these walls, you know, are not just walls, you know, just because, you know, the people needed to dig wells, but they symbolized something, you know, and I just want to share the following with us. So the walls played a significant role in those days. They were a source of life. You know, because without water, there's no life. You know, so these walls were a source of life because everything depended on them. You know, so the people for their, you know, everyday use, they depended on this water. The animals depended on this water. The vegetation depended on this water. And because it was a very agricultural, you know, kind of time, you know, people ate, you know, what they got in the, you know, in the field. You know, so they really depended on this water. So this is what, you know, this well was all about, or what it was made for. And then the second thing is, you know, these wells were often a sign of fruitfulness or prosperity. You know, because if you have wells, the more wells you have, you know, the better fruitful, or the better you can water your gardens and all this kind of stuff. You know, so it meant that when you come into a community and they have a lot of wells, that was a sign, you know, that this is a prosperous community, that this is a community that is flourishing, and a community, you know, that is fruitful. And then the other thing is, it was also a symbol, you know, as I said, for communities, you know, that were flourishing and doing well. So you could look from the outside and look at a community, you know, based on, you know, the walls they had, and you could say that, you know, this is a good community to stay with, or to stay in, or you know, if you're on your way to lodging. And then I think also, you know, just regardless of the vegetation, or regardless of the, you know, just the daily use, this water also for me was a sign of dependency. I really believe that God put it there, that every single time when an Israelite would go to draw water at a certain time, that would be a reminder, you know, of their dependence upon God. That would be a reminder, you know, that all life depends on God. You know, that without God, there is no life. So every time, you know, they drew water, it would be a sign, you know, that, man, we know who is the source of this water. We know who is the source of this life. So that would be something that redirects them, you know, or redirects their attention, you know, to God as the provider of all things. And I think in the same way, you know, that the Israelites had a habit of drawing fresh water every single day, because they had set times where, you know, in the day they would go and draw water. I think in the same way that they were dependent, you know, on these wells, you know, I think we too are called to drink from Jesus. You know, and I think, you know, this is something that we call to make a habit. This is something that should happen every single day. We should be a people, just like those Israelites, just like when I was invited to go draw fresh water. Every single one of us, even today, in this time that we find ourselves in, we are called daily, you know, to go to God, to go to Jesus, and draw some fresh water. And I want to say that our relationships with God are dependent on this, and it doesn't matter in what season that we find ourselves in. There is a constant invitation for us to come and drink. You know, and I love this. You know, part of what, you know, God was doing late last year in the church. You know, a lot of you guys would remember that Matt used the words. There are moments where God, you know, he tugs you. There's these tugs, or these drawings, you know, that God uses, you know, to draw. And what I want to say, what I want to say with that is that, you know, even today there's this constant invitation from Jesus, you know, for us to come and draw. And it depends whether we want to come and draw, or whether we just want to continue with what we want to continue with. So I just want to take a couple of scriptures, you know, just to lay out, you know, that as much as, you know, as I said, that we need to draw from Jesus, there's also a longing, really a deep longing in God's heart, you know, for us to come to Him. You know, for us to come and grow from Him. This is not something that sustains us, but this is something that God, you know, He has a desire, you know, for us to come. And so constantly, every single day, there's this invitation to say, Nico, come. Come. There's this invitation to say, Casey, come. Come. Kimberly, come. There's this constant invitation that God gives us, and it's highlighted in the following words. So the first one is found in John 6, verse 35. Okay, I'm just going to read it so long. So it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So you see that whoever comes to me shall never go hungry, and whoever comes to me shall never thirst. So that's an invitation to say, come and drink, you know, come and eat. And then the second one is in Matthew 11, verse 28. And this is a very popular scripture where Jesus said, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, recognize that it's not, you know, the rest that comes to us, but it's coming to Jesus. You know, it's not the you know, being quenched that comes to us. Coming to Jesus, and out of that place, you know, of being with Jesus, then we, you know, our thirst is quenched, you know, our hunger is filled up, you know, we get rest, but it first comes with coming to Jesus, you know, because He is the source of all those things. And then this last one, which I love because, you know, it just shows us the importance of this thing, is found in Revelation 22, which is the last, you know, chapter in the Bible, you know, and it shows that this is something that is really, yeah, just important, and that God wanted to highlight, you know, to you and me, and that He sees as a value, and that we too should see as a value. So in Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without a price. I mean, how beautiful is that? You know, let the one who is thirsty, the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. You know, that constant invitation, you know, to say, there's something, you know, I want you to have. But in order for you to have this thing, I want you to draw from me. And it's such an abundant life, really, our relationship with God. I really want to highlight that it's such an abundant life, you know, that we're called to. There is so much for you and I. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said that I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, but in order for us to access that abundant life, in order for us to access the life, the rich, the abundant, the wide, the deep, you know, just love that God has called, you know, has called you and me to. In order for us to get access to that, we need to draw from the person of Jesus. You know, we don't have to draw to the person next sitting next to you. You know, the only source and the only person that you should be drawing, you know, to should be the person of Jesus. So with this picture of, you know, just having wells, and to show just how important these wells were, if you read, you know, in the Old Testament, you would see that a lot of times when nations were at war against one another. So let's say Zambia was in a war with South Africa. One of the things as a form of attack that the enemy would do is they would block the other nation's wells. You know, so they would take stones or any kind of material that they could get, you know, to block those wells. Because they knew, you know, that if we block these wells, this is a source of life. These people are dependent on this thing. You know, without this thing, you know, if they don't have access to this thing, there is no life in the community. No one can survive. So they knew that it was something, you know, very, very important and very dear, you know, to whatever nations they would attack. And then as a form, obviously, of weakening them and of making them vulnerable and attacking them, they would block up these walls. And this is found, I'm just going to give a brief examples of this, because this is something that the enemy comes to do in my life and in your life as well, and we will see that a bit later. So in Genesis 26, verse 15. Genesis 26, verse 15. It reads as follows. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with all the wars that his father's servants had done in the days of Abraham his father. And just to give a bit of context of what was happening here is, you know, after Abraham died, which was Isaac's father, the Philistines came to attack Israel, and what they did, one of the things that they did was to clog or to block all the wells, you know, that was found in Israel. And later in this chapter, we would see that Isaac had the responsibility of coming and unclogging or unblocking all of those wells. And the second one is found in 2 Kings verse 3, 2 Kings 3 verse 25. And it says, and they overthrew the cities, speaking of Israel, and on every good piece of land, every man threw a stone until it was covered. They stopped every spring of water, or every well, as other translation says, and felled all the good trees till only its stones were left in that place that it mentions that I can't pronounce. And the slingers surrounded and attacked it. You know, so this was a word that God gave us, you know, as a prophetic word to Israel. Actually, this was, they were consulting Elisha as a prophet, going after the king of Moab, you know, who rebelled against Israel. And then as they consulted God, this is what God said. One of the things that he said is, you go after them, you go attack them, and one of the things you need to do is to block up all their wants. You know, because he knew, obviously, as we said, that this is a part where if we attack that, you know, then the enemy becomes vulnerable, and the enemy, you know, is at a place where we can attack and conquer the enemy. And as I said in the beginning, I think it's safe, you know, to say that sometimes this is a little bit of what happens with us. You know, the enemy comes with different attacks. As we said, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. So he comes up with all these things, all these stones, and all these materials, and all these things, temptation, and you know, everything. And it just comes and he blocks, you know, our walls. And you find yourself in the space where you're like, acid. It just feels like I'm in a bit of a dry place. You know, it really just feels like I'm in a place where I'm not hearing God. I'm trying to pray. You know, I'm trying to worship. You know, I'm trying to give myself to fellowship. I'm trying to be all these sorts of things, but it just really feels like there's no life. I just really feel like, you know, I'm at this place where I'm lifeless, you know, because of the things that the enemy brings into our lives that blocks up, you know, that wall, you know. And then when that block comes, you know, it just feels like there's almost like a bit of a wall, you know, between us and God. We feel like we can't access God, you know, as we should, you know, be accessing him. And in times like this, as you said, that it's a choice, you know, like what we do with all these things. It's either we dig through that rock, you know, that rock, and we try to find God. You know, we come with a mindset to say, God, you said if we seek you with all of our hearts, you said if we seek you with all of our hearts, it's a promise that you've given us, you know, that we will find you. You know, there are moments where we need to do that. You know, that God, you gave us this promise. And it doesn't matter how I feel, it doesn't matter my emotions, it doesn't matter my circumstances, I'm going to go after you and I'm going to seek after you until I find you, because you have promised this thing. And then one of the things that we often do is, you know, if this source or this world from God, if it's blocked and we find ourselves in a vulnerable place, one of the things we do is we start seeking, you know, our source in others or in other things. You know, so we start looking at Netflix, we start looking at YouTube, we start looking at, you know, different things. But then some of the things that we do is we start drawing from other people, you know, that are with us. And while this is not wrong, you know, and I'll highlight this a bit later, but then we try to draw from other people, whether it's friends, whether it's boyfriends, you know, whether it's my wife, you know, or her drawn from me as a husband, you know. So we try to find all these places, you know, to drink from, you know, or just like the Samaritan woman, you know, those Jacob walls in our lives. So we draw from all those kind of kind of places. And I want to say that these, we find, you know, like that as we, you know, try to seek God through other people or through these mediums, or try to seek fulfillment or enjoyment, you know, or just peace or joy in our lives, we find that these things leave us empty. You know, we find that it leaves us at a place where we just want more. You know, it just feels like I'm emptier, you know, than I was. And in the church, this is the form that this takes. You know, when the little, you know, box up, you know, we oftentimes, even though we don't think about it, we oftentimes develop this mindset. You know, it's like Leonard is an elder of this church. So Leonard, you see God, you come up with a preach for us as a church, you know, and then we will draw from you. You know, we don't seek God for ourselves. You know, yes, God has put land, God has put this church, because, you know, that's how God works. He works through his church. You know, and Leonard's been appointed, you know, as an elder of this house to oversee us, you know, to shepherd us. And he's an incredible guy. I don't want to flatter him, but he's an incredible guy. He's doing an amazing job. You know, but even that, you know, like we're not just called to draw from Leonard as our elder. We call in of ourselves to draw from Jesus directly himself. You know, one of the things that we do is, Yanko, you know, just come up with 3 or 5 songs for us, you know, and let's just jam those songs through and sing those songs through, and you seek God for us, you know. So worship team, you guys seek God, you guys worship God, and then we will be here, you know, just receiving what you guys have. You know, instead of adopting this mindset, you know, that, man, I want to worship God for myself. I know that I don't feel like it. I know that I'm in a bit of a, you know, a bit of a slope. I know that I'm not in a lacquer place, you know. But in order, you know, for this thing to be unblocked, I need, you know, to see God for myself. Or maybe your comm leader can come through that as well. So it takes a lot of forms. And as I said, while all these things in themselves are not wrong, there is a part of it where God calls us to drink from Him directly. You know, God is not a God that's unfair, that just wants you to have, as his child, he doesn't want you to have a secondhand, you know, revelation of who he is. He doesn't want that. He desires for himself. He wants to reveal himself to you. You know, that's what he wants to do. You know, so if you believe the lie, you know, that God only works through certain people, or God only reveals himself to prophets, or to elders, or to worship teams, or to comm leaders, or deacons, or whatever it is, you know, I want to break that lie to say God wants to reveal himself to you. And what you and I need to do is we constantly need to put ourselves at a place where we're drawing from God, where we're drawing, you know, this life that he has for us. Because any other thing, if it's not God, it will leave you at a worse space than what you were. It will leave you at an empty, empty space. But unfortunately, as I said earlier, it's sometimes difficult to dig wells. It's a difficult thing. You know, and sometimes just easier, you know, to say, you know what? Let me just, you know, and this happens to me. I confess with community this Wednesday that sometimes I find myself, you know, in seasons, you know, where I draw from my wife. And as I said, that's not entirely wrong. But I move myself, obviously, or I move myself to this place where it's like, if she's doing well with God, if she's hearing God, and, you know, God is giving her dreams and prophetic words and all these things, there is a sense in my heart that I'm also okay, that I'm also doing well. But it's not. And then I realize that, man, God, you're not putting yourself before God. You're not seeking God at all. Like, all you're relying on is just, you know, Dumi's revelation of what she's experiencing of Jesus in this time. You know, and as I said, that's something that often happens in our lives as well. You know, and it's so subtle. It happens so subtle that we don't even realize it, that we're drawing from other places other than drawing from Jesus. So as I try to land this thing, I wanna share a scripture with us that really, I mean, as I was just reading this again this week, it just really, really it hit deep, it hit home. And this is Jesus in John 7, verse 37 to 38. And it reads as follows. This is Jesus speaking. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. I want to highlight that, you know. So he didn't stand up and just spoke nicely. You know, he cried out. You know, he yelled. You know, it was something that was intense. And this is what he cried out: "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
And verse 38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How beautiful is that? I want to read it again. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So if we come to Jesus and we said, he cries out. And I can promise you that in the same way that Jesus cried out to the people that were surrounding him at that day, even today, he's crying out. I promise you, even today, he's crying out. He's yearning. You know, he's saying, Nico, come. If you're thirsty, come and drink from me. He's like, no other thing is worthy. You know, like other things will leave you empty, will leave you more thirsty and wanting for more. You know, but come, because I'm the one, I am the source. I want to be the one that fills your thirst. I want to be the one that fills your hunger. And this is a promise that we have, that as we come to Jesus, you know, as we draw from him, and how do we draw from him? By our devotions. You know, by setting set times, you know, to say, man, whether it feels at times, it feels like a religion or whatnot, but I'm gonna hammer on that thing. God, I'm gonna wake up every day at 6 a.m. and I'm gonna seek you, even though I read scriptures and I feel like there's nothing in this, I'm not really getting something from this, but I'm gonna seek you. You know, it comes in forms of prayer, you know, but seeking God and praying even though I don't feel like it. You know those moments sometimes at 3 or 12, you know, midnight, you know, you just like wake up and you just feel like, why did I wake up? You know, those are some of the moments that God uses to come and drink from me. You know, within the church, you know, to say, I'm not going to let the worship team, you know, be the people that worship God on my behalf. No. I'm going to join in with the angels and with the elders as they worship God. I'm going to join in with all of heaven to worship them for myself. Even though it's a bit uncomfortable for me and I want to really raise my hand or I'm in a bit of a broken place or all of that, but I want to seek God. You know, these are practical ways, you know, that God uses, you know, for us to come to him and to drink of him.
So I want to ask a question before I give over to Leonard. And I really want us to just consider this question deeply. So in this season of your life, with everything that's going on around us, what are you drawing from? Like, what are you drawing from? And just ponder on this. Try to really think deeply about it. What are you drawing from? You know, are you drawing from Jesus? Or have you settled for other temporary things? Or have you settled for a second-hand experience? What are you drawing from? As I said, I truly believe that God wants to come and reveal himself to each and every one of us. To each and every one of us. So I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through at this moment. I don't know where, you know, with the whole COVID stuff or with studies or with work or with family or marriage or whatever it is. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I want to say that it doesn't matter where you may find yourself in, you know, there's this invitation this evening. Francois, come. You know, there's this invitation to say, Stefan, come and draw from me. There's abundance in me. And whatever you're going through, like, I'm able to sort that thing out. I'm able to fill you up. I'm able to quench you first. What you need to do is just take that small step and say, God, here I am to draw from you. Come and fill me up.
Yeah, thanks, Godfrey. I think that's a really good and a key word. Just coming back this year, and obviously a lot of people weren't in Stellenbosch, and it's interesting to see when we come back, there's this balance that we need to find. On the one hand, I feel like us as a church family, it's good that helps us to seek God more easily. And I found that it's easier for me to follow God when I'm with the people of God, and God has made it that way. However, I should be able to also get to God when I'm not around the people of God. It's not an excuse. And here's a couple of notes I took from tonight. Firstly, God wants us to seek him every day. It's his desire. Secondly, the enemy will try and stop us from spending time with God. We shouldn't let it happen. Thirdly, only Jesus has clean water to drink. The rest is contaminated water. Nowhere else will we find clean water. Number four, No one can see God on your behalf. You need to do it. Number 5, God wants to be our sustenance. Doesn't want us to drink in other places. He wants to be our sustenance. Number 6, if we drink from God, we are able to give water to others who are thirsty. That's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, we're going to do something different now, but we're going to give you 5 or 10 minutes to seek God on your own, to dig a well. And we, the band, they're just going to play. No one's going to sing a song. We just want to give you some time to seek God. If you're not sure how to do it, the easiest way is just to speak to God like you speak to a friend. Okay, that's a good way to start. If you're struggling to find words, and I want to encourage you, maybe even take your Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, go onto Google. Don't Google other things, but go to a psalm and maybe just read through that psalm and seek God. But let's take a few minutes. We're going to and seek God on our own.
So it's amazing, Godfrey's message. I spoke earlier this week with Leonard, and it's basically exactly the same. And it's a posture. Godfrey, you spoke of a posture, just quickly listen here, of a heart's posture that one must have towards God. And what I shared with Leonard is Peter's response. I just want to read this to us before you seek God's face, but just give you some more directions in the posture that God's asking of us. So Christ is washing their feet. You know the story, it's well known. Now, then Christ comes to Peter, and then Peter says, Peter protested, "You will never wash my feet," because it's beneath a teacher of the law, a rabbi, Christ, to wash people's feet. It's the lowliest job in their culture. It's shameful. And Peter says, "You can't wash my feet." No, never. And then Jesus replies, he says, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Okay, so listen to Peter's response. Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." What's that posture? What's he doing there? He's thrusting himself onto God. He's in a way humbly saying, "God, take me." Not, "God, please, can you have?" "God, take me. I'm thrusting myself on you." There's no shame involved. He doesn't care what the other disciples are saying. So it's a heart posture where you say, "God, you have no option but to take me. I'm yours. Wash all of me."
Yeah. So let's do that. Let's take a few minutes and you just give yourself to God wholeheartedly. Say, "God, here I am." If you want to stand, you can. If you want to move out of the seats, you're welcome to do that. If you want to sit where you are, that's fine as well. But let's take time and seek God for ourselves.